There we go. And welcome to Between the Margins. I'm Michelle Boyce.
I'm Devil Hamza.
And Between the Margins is a show about human rights and people's pursuit of happily ever after. I have two wonderful guests with me on today's show. I have with me Adrian, who is one of the organizers of Slutwalk London, and I have Heather Jarvis, who is the hero that's one of the two heroes that started Slutwalk Toronto. You guys both here?
Yes.
Awesome. Gang's all here. Let's have fun. I do want to say the topic of this show is Slutwalk National, because or international, as we are now known, thanks to Australia and New Zealand coming into play. And I just want to warn you folks, like always on Between the Margins, we talk about tough topics and tough things, and sometimes things are on the air that trigger us if we're victims of sexual violence or sexual assault or violence, and please take care of yourself out there, and if anything on the show is content-oriented that is harmful to you, please take care of yourself out there. Okay, so we've had some fantastic experiences with the Slutwalk phenomena. And Heather, it all started with you. Are you there?
Well, yeah, it started with just a response to just feeling so done with incidents of victim blaming. It just feels like they've been happening more frequently. Maybe I'm more aware of them. Maybe the media is picking them up more. And it was just frustrated, and a lot of other people clearly were too. So Sonia and I connected, my co-founder Sonia J.F. Barnett and I connected, and decided we wanted to do something constructive and not just be angry. So we thought, let's go to the Toronto Police Headquarters door and say, an apology that you're suggesting you're going to do is not enough, because this is not just the first time we've heard about this. Countless survivors say that the police have not treated them with respect or support and have re-victimized them. And then very quickly, we joined forces with our three other organizers, and so shocking to us, this has just picked up, and a lot of people feel they really can engage with this and be a part of it, and that thrills me so much.
Wonderful. And yesterday we had Slutwalk London.
We did.
And what were your feelings about that, Adrian?
It was an amazing, amazing turnout. We were very, very pleased. Really excited to see the diversity of the crowd. We had a lot of university students, a lot of adults, a lot of families. Everyone really came together to say, you know, we've had enough, and it's time to end victim blaming and to really start putting the blame where it belongs, which is with the perpetrators of sexual violence.
Wonderful. I've got an introduction to Slutwalk, which was taken at the rally yesterday, and we're going to hear that, and it'll give the audience an idea of what we're talking about.
You know, the thing for me is these young feminists, you know, language is different to them than myself, who is an older feminist, and I need to support this because, you know, they are the ones who are going to take on these issues.
Listen up. After I make my statement.
You know, after
we have had
a bunch of us are exhausted and tired of taking on these issues, so we need to support them. We need to support them. And again, you know, language is totally different than the language that we used or continue to use. So we need to support this.
And we have had enough of being men in society believing that they have sole proprietorship over women's bodies. My body belongs to me. My sexuality belongs to me. It doesn't belong to the father. That's why I'm here today. I've had enough. I'm the executive director of the Sexual Assault Center in London. And it is a privilege and an honor to be standing here with my brothers and my sisters, the Amazon Collective, and V-Day Western. For the past 25 years, our center has journeyed with thousands of women. And you know what? The common thread that weaves through their stories is how they thought the sexual violence they experienced at the hands of a so-called loved one, a friend, a neighbor, an acquaintance, was their fault. That's shame. How it was their fault that they were sleeping in their own bed at the age of 15 when their father came into the room and raped them. How it was their fault that they were sitting quietly in the safety of their own home behaving when their father's best friend showed up and sexually assaulted them. How it was their fault that as little girls, they had faith, they went to church, they liked the priest, and they were raped by him. How it was their fault that they were beautiful, that they were sexy, that they had breasts. Shame. The women who walk through our doors, and quite frankly, all of us who identify as women, carry within our souls an internalized oppression. And I know that there are boys and men who have also been sexually assaulted and who also carry this internalized oppression. And it says to us, we asked for it. We are deserving of the hate and shame. And so we silence ourselves. And we carry the shame and hurt with us for years. How can we possibly create a just, loving, and caring world if half the population carries such deeply rooted shame? This slut walk today is about breaking free of the chains of oppression and doing so in solidarity with our sisters and brothers. That's why we come together. Look at us. This is power. This is real power. Yes. This is how change occurs. This is grassroots.
I think one of the things that Louise said is we need to work together. And if it's important to the younger generation, we need to hear them. We need to support them. And in order to, end the myths and provide safe spaces for women, to reclaim their sexuality. Yeah, so I am so proud of the Amazon Collective and V-Day Western for, taking this on and bringing it to our community. And it's obvious that, they have a lot of support behind them. And I think that's what we need. And we need to keep talking about this issue. And they are bringing it to the forefront. People are talking about it.
And we are talking about it here on Between the Margins. I know you wanted to make the London Rally, Heather, but that work thing got in your way.
Yeah, I was so sad I couldn't make it to either London or Ottawa yesterday. If I could have been in so many places, I would have just loved to be there.
It was a
great. And congratulations to all of the organizers for what they've done.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Now, I'd like to say, as an old feminist here in London, I really support yesterday. I just wish it had been called something else besides the slut walk.
That's definitely a very common reaction or opinion or feedback we've received from the very start of this. And I respect that people respond differently to language. People respond differently to approaches and tactics around sexual assault. And it's, part of me has just come to a place to accept not everybody is going to like any approach. No approach is ever going to be entirely inclusive. And that's why for me and my other organizers, and I think everybody who's picking up Slut Walk, the point has been it's very important to let people make the choice for themselves. That this is an option that I choose to reclaim language because it's very powerful for me. I also identify as queer, and queer has a strong history of being reclaimed. And, that's what I constantly think about around this word, but that people say it shouldn't be reclaimed and it's a damaging word. And I think queer was once the exact same. And now look at the way it can empower people and connect people. So I think everybody needs to make the choice for themselves and say, I don't like this word. It's not for me, but I can support the message.
And I love the conversation about language and how different people have different viewpoints on this. And at Slut Walk London, I asked a whole pile of people what they thought of the word slut. And I've got some tape for you of their opinions. And then we can continue this conversation on Between the Margins.
Great.
I'm talking to Allie, who's one of the organizers of Slut Walk. What are your feelings about today?
I am pretty excited, actually. We had an amazing turnout, an amazing event. There's such beautiful energy in this air. And I am feeling really good.
It was a big crowd coming in here. What does the word slut mean to you?
To me, personally, it's interesting. I was looking up the etymology of the word slut, and slut also means a bold, outspoken woman. So I embrace that definition, and I am definitely a bold, outspoken woman. So I think the word slut means to me bold, outspoken woman, and that's me.
Wonderful. Thanks for talking to me, Allie.
No problem.
What does the word slut mean to you?
Somebody who's liberated with their sexuality, enjoys it, and actually has fun.
Yeah, so what brought you to Slut Walk, London?
Respect for women. We need to be speaking out and doing something about women, justice for women.
And what does the word slut mean to you?
It's probably, it's not a word I want to reclaim, that's for sure. It's a word that probably makes me and other people feel uncomfortable, and I think we have to address that. Like, I could use the word slut as much as I want to, but it's meant as a derogatory term towards women, and I think we need to stand up and say something about it.
Wonderful. Did you have fun here today?
Oh, yeah. Lots of fun.
Thanks
to the group of six who put this on.
Thanks. So what are you guys' names?
Erica.
Janine.
Tiffany.
So what brings you to Slut Walk?
Erica and I are a part of V-Day Western with a UWO, and we heard about it from the campaign, and we're out here to fight the idea
that victims should be blamed.
Exactly.
That's bullshit.
And Tiffany's a friend of mine from work, and I informed her what was going on, and it shows that anyone can get involved with it, whether you're involved with a campaign or just someone coming off the street. It's a very important message.
What does the word slut mean to you guys?
I've always thought of it as a very derogatory term, but after the walk, I feel like it should be more of an empowering term, showing that we're fighting the label of it being derogatory.
Yeah, I don't particularly like the word slut, but today I feel empowered by it.
Yeah.
I feel like you should be able to dress however you want, be sexual, and be empowered.
Thanks a lot, guys.
No problem. Thanks. The Chatham Dad.
So everybody's calling you the Chatham Dad. You brought your two daughters from Chatham. What brought you to Slut Walk?
I brought one daughter and a couple of her friends. I thought this was an important thing to do. My daughter is involved. I've always brought her up to stand up for herself and stand up for her rights. And so we're here today, me and my 19-year-old daughter.
Wonderful. And what does the word slut mean to you?
This is a hard word to get around when my daughter asked me. So I said to my wife, I said, I'm going to London with Angelina to go to a slut walk. I said, sounds like a good day for father-daughter bonding.
Wonderful. Thanks for talking to me. So, Susan, what brings you to Slut Walk?
Oh, well, what an amazing day. I just knew that this was the place I had to be Sunday afternoon. The energy is out of this world. I haven't seen this kind of energy in probably 2 decades. So this has hit a nerve. That people are responding to this, and I'm really interested to be in the dialogue of what it means to people.
And what does the word slut mean to you?
You know, I have to say, I always loved that word. I remember as a young woman, just, you know, we would just banter and tease each other and say, oh, you're so slutty. And just, I guess, although there's been some conversation about taking it back or not taking it back, but making the word our own and giving the word some life and giving it our own interpretation. So I have actually always thought that was a great word.
Thanks. And what did you think of the crowd?
I was blown away. There are so many young people here. There was such a wide cross-section. But what really excited me was the number of young women and young men who are clearly in this movement. And I looked around at those of us who've been in it for a long, long while, and we said to each other, we are going to be able to retire. There are young women and young men who are taking up this movement, taking up this work, moving it forward, maybe moving it in places I couldn't have imagined. That's okay. That's what a movement is about. It's very exciting.
Thanks for talking to me.
Thank you.
Hey, so what brings you to Slutwalk?
I don't really know. I do know. I'm sorry. This is distracting me. We're here. There's some people here who are telling us that we should be ashamed of ourselves and that we're misrepresenting our gender and that we're casting shame upon ourselves. And I guess that's really the attitude that I'm here to fight against, because I just think it's really inappropriate that we have a culture that teaches women that we should be sexualized and we find value in that. But as soon as that's our own interpretation of it, it's a problem and we're sluts. And then they use that as justification for raping us, when in actuality it's them that's raping us. And I think it's time to change the conversation.
Absolutely. What does the word slut mean to you?
To me, it means hatred and fear of women's sexuality.
In one way or another, I'd like to say we can take back the word. If you think about the black movement in the United States, what did they say? Black is what?
Beautiful.
Slut is what?
Beautiful.
We are what?
Beautiful.
And we're gathered together to take back our words, to imbue them with the meanings that we know that we can shape, and we can be who we are in this beautiful world as provided by us from Mother Earth.
Wow, and I'm reliving the energy of yesterday. And does that bring back memories of Slutwalk Toronto, Heather?
Oh my gosh, I'm getting all misty-eyed listening to these things. It's just the thing that I love so much about what this has become and the way that people are engaging in it is sexual assault and rape is a very hard topic. It's very emotional. It can be very triggering. It's not necessarily a fun topic, but somehow people have been able to engage with this and keep empowering each other and even, you know, remain strong and confident and positive. And that was the thing that even several friends have continued to tell me as recently as last night, that they loved being in Toronto in that energy, because it was so empowering and it was so happy and supportive. And it's hard to find that around this kind of material. And I'm thrilled. I'm over the moon at hearing about how well London went.
Yeah, I was just amazed when I saw the amount of people there on the TV last night, because I was out of town and I couldn't attend, but I was just blown away. I mean, it just reminded me of Take Back the Night.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it's so... I know there's a lot of controversy over the name and the language, and... I mean, we have actually an interview later with Megan Walker, who has put forward a competitive product to Slutwalk, and they're going a totally different way. And after the break at the half, we're going to talk more about that. But let's talk about how you feel about the international Slutwalk. I mean, we have Slutwalks all over North America. We've got them in Boston and Dallas and Seattle and Vancouver and Calgary and New Brunswick and Yukon, and we've got them in Indonesia, and we've got them in Australia. And you, as the brainchild, I know I talked to you, you know, when this was just an infancy, and you're kind of scared about the whole concept. How do you feel now?
I feel amazed and in a bit of disbelief. You know, I remember speaking to Sonia when this first got started, and I remember saying, you know, I've never done something like this of this of this scale. I'd never done it in Toronto. If I'd ever organized, you know, this kind of community mobilizing grassroots activism, it had been smaller. So I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if 100 people came, Sonia? And it's just, none of us ever expected this. And although there is so much controversy, and I can really respect a lot of people's opinions that disagree, but for me, what is proving this and proving its value is how many people are deciding to pick it up and engage with it. You know, there are people, countless people, who continue to say to us, you know, I usually let these comments slide, or I don't go to protests. I don't engage with this kind of stuff. I don't do activism. I don't know if I like feminism, but I really couldn't stay silent any longer. I really wanted to participate in this. And that, I think, for me, it speaks so much to what this is doing and how people can engage with this. I think everybody can relate. I would challenge to say that every single person can relate to being called some pejorative word, especially around things like sexuality, that is meant to damage them and strip them down to nothing. I think everybody knows what that feels like. And to speak up against that, particularly around sexuality and sexual violence, is incredible.
And for the London Slut Walk, while we did mirror Toronto Slut Walk in a lot of ways, we did recognize that the word slut can be very harmful. And so our messaging was not necessarily to reclaim it, though we respect and support those who individually choose to make that part of claiming their own sexual agency. For us, it was really, we wanted to talk about how harmful this word is and how it represents an entire mythology that is so detrimental to society, and really, as I said before, it makes the conversation surrounding sexual violence focused on something completely, you know, at the opposite end of the spectrum to what it should be. And it should be talking about why perpetrators are doing it, how can we stop them, how can we create a society in which this no longer occurs, and in which we're blaming the people who are actually at fault for sexual violence.
Exactly. The perpetrators, not the victims. And
yeah, and I think something that's also so important within this, and I think it's a big part of the conversation, is this isn't just about talking about victim-blaming attitudes and ideas, but also slut-shaming, because they really go hand in hand, mm-hmm. where you shame people because you're making an assumption about their sexuality, or even if you're right on, if people choose to have consensual sex, if they choose to do that on their terms, that should never be a point where you shame them for who they are. And that kind of, I think, goes hand in hand with victim blaming, because it's just another way that people can form this idea in their head of why people are asking for it or why victims should be blamed.
Exactly. So yesterday was also another very successful rally, and I've got tape from the Ottawa folks who had their rally yesterday.
Who am I talking to?
My name's Nicole, M-A-T-T-E.
Cool, and you guys had your Slut Walk march today.
Yes, we did.
So, Ottawa being Canada's capital, how many people did you have out?
That's a really good question. I haven't really heard any estimates. I would say, like, upwards of a couple hundred, I think. I mean, considering we're a lot smaller than Toronto, it didn't. The numbers weren't quite as surprising as they were in Toronto, I think. But it was a really great turnout. One of the best I've seen for events of kind of a similar theme. So we were really impressed.
Wonderful. So, what were some of the highlights that you guys had?
We had some really phenomenal speakers this year, actually. So. We had Julie Lalonde and Layla speak from the Carlton Coalition about their fight to get a sexual assault support center on campus. It was a really wide range, I think, of speakers who were doing sexual assault support advocacy in the city. Sunny from SASC, the Sexual Assault Support Center of Ottawa, did this really great skit with another coworker of hers where they kind of unveiled their T-shirts that had been labeled with the word slut and continued to kind of discuss the politics of the word and the pros and cons of reclaiming it and kind of the context slut-shaming in a society relative to sexual assault. So I think that was one of the highlights for me anyway.
That's fantastic. So
yeah, it was a pretty good spectacle.
I was at the London Slut Walk today, and they probably had about the same number of people, 200-300 there that I was talking to them. How was the response to the word slut up in Ottawa?
I think it's varied, and I think a lot of people were kind of reticent to jump on board with the idea of it because it's still, I think, a really provocative term, and even myself, when I first heard it, I was kind of confused about the direction of the event. But once you start to hear a bit about the background and how it's not only maybe some people want to reclaim the term, maybe others don't, but it's more just in order to facilitate discussion and facilitate the conversations that happen around that word and the way that we have come to understand the word slut and what that means in terms of the way women will be believed and understood when they experience sexual assault. So I think once people start to know the background, they're really supportive of the campaign, is my experience.
The incidents of that have stood out in your mind that have happened in your area that kind of like the Toronto incident and
right.
Winnipeg and all of those horrific
kind of notable incidents. Yeah, absolutely. One that comes to mind recently is Stacey Bond. And that happened in 2008, but only recently was there a sentencing of the cop who sexually assaulted Stacey Bond when she was walking alone at night. So it was kind of a really dramatic representation, or just very clear representation of the way that cops use their power, and this is specifically cops, and the way that case was handled. And the cop finally did get charged with sexual assault, but from our perspective, it's, you know, a greater institutional issue. The way that the cops deal with sexual assault, the approach they take. In my experience, I've worked directly with the sexual assault program coordinator of the Ottawa Police, and she told me point blank that the police approach all their sexual assault reports with the understanding or the belief, the myth, I would argue, that 50% of women lie. So that's what they're approaching this understanding with, is that women are just running amok and lying about sexual assault. And from our perspective, the idea is no one lies about sexual assault. In other studies that have been done, the rates of false reporting are lower than any other crime, about 2%, which runs throughout all crimes that are reported. So is why would anyone put themselves through such a traumatic incident? And we know that they're experienced. We know that women are not treated well. They're often re-victimized by the cops, which is their story and their reputation that goes along with such an experience. So I think those are just a few examples of things that do happen in Ottawa. Also, we have the lowest report rates for sexual assault across the country, which just kind of suggests that women are not feeling comfortable. People who experience sexual assault are not feeling comfortable going to the authorities where they might get some kind of justice. And in the case that they do, they often don't get the justice they're looking for. So there's a lot of systemic issues that we want to speak out about.
How were the Ottawa police to slut walk today?
They volunteered their services to do traffic control. We didn't request their support, but that was kind of a choice that they made, and we allowed them to join in that way. But in terms of their cooperation, it was simply to do their job in order to facilitate our expression in this case. So hopefully they were listening. They weren't invited to special guests, that's for sure. But for the ones who were standing around on their bikes, I hope they heard what our speakers had to say.
So, unlike some of the other slut walks, there is more of a police target there in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think so. I wouldn't say specifically. I mean, it's definitely, the target is all of our institutions on a greater level. So that means the courts, that means cops, that means all of our society in terms of the way we understand women. This is certainly the ways we understand sexual assault. It's not something that is limited to cops. It's super systemic. It's very pervasive in all of our attitudes. You know, you talk to your parents, the first thing out of their mouth will be, well, what were you wearing? Where were you going? Why were you out alone at night? And so it's definitely a greater issue that pervades all of our culture, and that's I think, the greater target.
Did you have any involvement from, you know, first wave feminists and that kind of thing with your walk?
I think it's something that has kind of bridged this idea of the waves, I suppose. I think in terms of our perspective on the issue is might be termed as a kind of a third wave perspective where we had to look at the interlocking issues in terms of gender violence. So that means violence against people who identify as genderqueer, trans people. It's, you know, like a greater systemic issue in that way as well. So not really this extremely rigid focus on women, but to take a look at the further gendered and racialized implications of that. But I think, you know, the fight against sexual violence is something that, you know, doesn't really stop whether you identify as feminist or not. You know, it's something that everyone, I think, wants to see end.
And we'll be back after these few commercial breaks with all of our guests here on Between the Margins.
We are all in this together, brothers and sisters, we can do better, raise your voice.
And we're back, and my name's Michelle Boyce.
And I'm Devil Hamza.
And I've got Adrian, and I have Heather Jarvis from Slutwalk Toronto, and Adrian's from Slutwalk London here, and we're having this amazing conversation about, you know, women's rights. I think we can just, you know, take it down to that. Yeah, that Ottawa, what's you guys' comments about the Ottawa focus?
Well, I think that it's amazing that the Ottawa police wanted to be involved with it in the first place and that they volunteered their time, because I know from experience they have a large diversity team on there and they deal with LGBTQ and other issues and they're very open to helping people. So I think that's a little bit different than our London police here.
How about you, Heather?
I'm thrilled to hear that it went well, and it sounds like they were having some really great conversations, and that they also know a lot about their police experience up there, and you know they have this information to go off of from survivors that says that police aren't being very supportive, which I know not everywhere has a police focus. And even right now, when we've been figuring out what's next for the sort of Slutwalk in general, we've been sort of thinking about we don't want to remain this focused on the police. This is a wider spread idea and belief and stereotype that we want to fight and change. But I think people need to address what's happening in their own communities. So that's wonderful that they were able to do that.
And I think in London, we're trying to keep the conversation going past sort of a one-day event by creating a forum in which community agencies, the police, and anyone really who feels that they have a stake, which is, I mean, everyone has a stake in this, to come together and talk about how we can take more concrete steps towards sort of changing the perspectives that we're talking about here and sort of erasing those myths and creating safer spaces for victims, survivors to come forward and talk about their experiences.
Yeah, and we've got a couple other slut walks coming up, and they haven't had theirs. And this is what the Dallas team has to say.
Well, we certainly haven't had as big of a response as Toronto, I don't think, at least not yet. There's still lots of time. And I think that's due to us being such a we're a very conservative area of the country. And so that's unfortunate. But I think a lot of people have been really, really excited about it. And it's been getting a lot of news and a lot of press. And so it's been really, really exciting. And I'm really excited about it. And I have some experience with activism, so it's been a really easy process for me. Well, I was one of the organizers. I was one of five organizers for Walk for Choice Dallas, which is also it was a more of a national thing, which was fighting for our right to choose for reproductive rights. With all the new spending cuts that our country is doing right now, they've really been attacking a lot of things that have to do with women. So we organized a Walk for Choice, and we've done two of them so far. We did one in February, and we did one in March, and we're going to do another one in May. So that's my experience there.
Wonderful. What's the main message that you want to get out in Dallas?
Well, the main message, you know, I want to stop slut-shaming, and I want to stop the victim-blaming. Like, that's such a big deal for me. I myself am a survivor of sexual assault, and I had to deal with victim blaming in my case. And you know, it's a really tragic thing when that happens. And so I want to tell the city of Dallas, hey, look, that's not okay. I mean, we had a case recently, just a few weeks ago, in Cleveland, Texas, where a young girl was sexually assaulted by 18 males, and there was a big case of victim blaming there, which it's really vile. It's absolutely vile. So I really want to, you know, stress victim blaming, that it's not okay. There was an 11-year-old girl. She was Hispanic. A lot of people were trying to play a race card in this, but it's stupid. But anyway, she was Hispanic, 11-year-old girl, and she was raped by 18 African-American males, ranging from middle school to, I think, in their 30s. And a lot of people, I mean, the publications that came out about it afterwards were like, those poor boys, they have to live with this afterwards, and, you know, what is going to happen? You know, she was dressing really slutty. You know, she shouldn't have gone with them in the first place. Hello, she's 11. She's an 11-year-old girl who was raped by 18 men. How is that? That is ridiculous. So, you know, I mean, that's just one example that happened very recently in our area of town. So, I mean, it's still, victim blaming is still a huge problem today.
It's happening all over North America, and that's, I think that's the power of Slut Walk, and I think that's the message that we're getting out there, you know. Up here, we're pushing the, you know, the don't rape instead of the don't be raped scenario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're trying to push that, because right now society does preach, you know, don't get raped, and they should be preaching don't rape. I mean, to me it seems obvious, but it's not what's happening, and so I'm hoping that this will start. I really think what Toronto did was amazing, because it's really kind of been a domino effect, and I'm hoping that just with Dallas, you know, coming up and being one of those dominoes, we can even start our own little domino effect here in our part of the country.
Did you want to tell people where, when, hows, and everything from Dallas?
Absolutely. I'd love to do. It's going to start at the J.F. Kennedy Memorial Center on Market and Main in downtown Dallas. It's going to be on April 23rd from about 1 to 3 p.m., and I'm hoping that a lot of people come out and really, you know, let their voices be heard and let, you know, tell the world that the victim is never to blame.
And we're back. And Heather, what do you think about Dallas?
Oh, it's just, I know I keep saying this, but it's just amazing to hear so many people who really are tackling this straightforward and saying, yeah, that is what victim blaming is. Because so many people who've criticized these ideas are, you know, play that role of the fence of, well, maybe calling somebody a slut isn't the right way to go about it, but come on, you have to be aware that you're putting yourself at a risk. Even when they're confronted, even when these ideas and people with these ideas are confronted with, this is what the evidence shows us, this is what the information and study after study shows us, that the majority of the people don't do it based on what you're wearing, and clothing cannot give consent. So it's amazing that, you know, especially in Texas, because a lot of us up here heard about that case in Cleveland and how despicable it was that people, before anything else, jumped to poor boys. Yeah, I do. You know, part of me does feel for some of those boys, because maybe they were peer pressured into it. But first and foremost, I feel for that girl. And that's where our support needs to be. And they still need to be held completely accountable for what they did.
Absolutely.
That's why we're here. That's why we're still talking about this, because of that 11-year-old girl, definitely. That's a horrific trauma that's happened to her.
Yeah. And people think that, you know, when you point it out to people in those terms about, you are blaming an 11-year-old girl, you know, when you break it down like that, hopefully it gets people's attention, because people... You know, most people can agree, a 3-year-old isn't asking for it. And if you can follow that mentality of, it's not about what they're wearing, regardless of what the perpetrator says, then why can you not follow that as our ages increase into adulthood? It's the same idea. Cleavage is not consent. Showing leg is not consent. The knowledge that you happen to have slept with a multitude of partners consensually is not giving consent to everyone around you. And people are understanding this, and people are fighting it, and they're fighting it with, you know, new energy and new directions, and it's amazing. Go Dallas.
Okay, yeah. And, these are tough topics, and I've got tape from Seattle, but I don't have time to play it, so I'm going to put it up on the web blog, and everybody can listen to the Seattle folks there. But I do want to talk about one of the agencies here in London, Ontario, have another way that people can get involved. And, I mean, it's controversial to some people, and but I think it's important that we all work together on a common goal. And this is Megan Walker.
My name is Megan Walker, and I am the executive director of the London Abuse Women's Centre.
Well, the biggest thing that I want to talk about is tell me about your campaign.
Okay. So we have launched the Value Women campaign, and the campaign is really based loosely on a number of campaigns that we've been involved with. So the first is the I Step Forward program with the City of London, which is creating champions for peace. And it is really about recruiting individuals to take action in their community, in the workplace, and at home to end violence and abuse against women, and to end sexual violence and to end all forms of family violence. And so we were inspired by that. We've been involved with that, and we have to date seen the success of that campaign. And then most recently we had the great opportunity to meet with an amazing, wonderful, inspiring woman who was visiting here from Tanzania. And she came to our office to speak with us and talk to us about the We Can program in Tanzania, where they are recruiting individuals one by one and asking them to go out and recruit another 10 individuals to take action to end violence against women. And theirs is a 10-year program, a 10-year goal of recruiting 41 million individuals. And to date, they have signed up 16 million individuals onto the program. And so again, we're like, wow, I mean, it's just phenomenal how you can rally people to take action to end this atrocity against women. And then again, we were doing some research into this different types of social action. And one of the victims of rape that had called our office said, you know, if you ever look back at what they did in the 60s with the Black is Beautiful campaign, and we hadn't. And so with her encouragement and help, we did look back. And so again, we're sort of loosely basing this campaign on that as well. So our campaign is really about 5 times 5 times 5. We're asking each individual to recruit 5 individuals to make a commitment to end violence and abuse against women. And this is a 5-year campaign, and we're hoping to recruit 5 million champions for women.
Now, you've had some, I don't know how to word it, you've had some issues with the Slut Walk campaign.
Yeah, the London Abuse Women's Centre is not supporting the Slut Walk campaign. You know, the term slut is not something that we want to reclaim. It's a term that's very derogatory, and one that, you know, we don't want to put our energy into reclaiming that term. What we want to do is put our energy into outlining who women are. And our energy is focusing on valuing women and creating opportunities for long-term sustainable change that actually creates equality for women. And so that's the approach we're taking.
There is a lot of old, long-term, and I don't mean old in ages, I mean old in dedication to the women's movement and dedication to feminism. And I mean, some names that have been associated with activism in the city forever at the Slut Walk, and I had a chance to talk to a lot of them, and what they were saying was that although that they may not agree with Slut Walk's reclaiming of the word slut, and some of them actually did agree with it, and they're pretty split on that when I was talking to them, but But the ones that didn't really agree with it, that were also there supporting, said that the youth are going to take and move this movement in the way that the youth are going to move it. And they want to retire someday, and they're going to have to leave the movement in the hands of the youth. And that they may not agree with how they go about moving women's rights forward, but they were definitely happy about the energy and the ambition.
So I've heard that from some of those same people, but remember, those youth involved today don't represent all young feminists and all youth. And so I think we need to remember that. There are a lot of incredible young feminists that are involved with the London Abuse Women's Centre that didn't support the walk. And so, you know, we have so many young women that volunteer at our organization that take, you know, act, that move this agenda forward, that I know are going to continue to remain involved in this movement, that are taking actions that are not consistent with the actions that were taken today. So, for instance, our entire Shine the Light on Woman Abuse campaign was developed by young women, by young feminists who do not support the slut walk. And so I think that's important to remember, that there is also division between, you know, amongst the young feminists. And so it's not really fair to say that because the London Abuse Women's Centre doesn't support the slut walk, we're not supporting, you know, young feminists, because we are. But, you know, lots of people have different ideas and different ways of achieving change and taking action, and even amongst the young feminists today that exist.
And that's one thing that I heard loud and clear today at Slutwalk, was that a lot of people were there supporting the mandate of no more victim blaming and no more, and there's a lot of common ground between.
Absolutely, absolutely. And listen, I can tell you, in every interview I've given, and when we met with the organizers of this slut walk, we said that as well. We all share that goal. There's no question about it. I mean, that whole Shine the Light to End Woman Abuse campaign that the London Abuse Women's Centre runs, the goal of that is to shift the responsibility for blame and shame from the shoulders of women to the shoulders of the abusers where it belongs. We all agree with that goal. It's how we get there that we disagree, and that's okay.
And that's, you know, okay. I mean, I think that says it all, and that's okay.
Yeah, and thank God we live in a country where we are all free to express ourselves and take this action, and we're all free to agree to disagree.
Which is why I wanted to talk to you on this show and to get, I mean, because Slut Walk doesn't speak to everybody, and I think that it's amazing that you guys have put together a program that maybe addresses the issues in a different way and gives a venue that those people can attach themselves to the movement as well.
Yeah, and, you know, it's what was really interesting to me was, you know, the organizers of the Slut Walk said, look, you don't like what we're doing? Come up with your own campaign. And, of course, at the London Abuse Women's Centre, we're always up to the challenge. And, you know, when people say to us, you come up with something, we never let that go. We always say, okay, we get it. We hear you loud and clear, and we will. And so we did. And, this, you know, we're very respectful in this community, and I have so much respect for the organizers of the Slut Walk. That's not what this is about.
I personally, from London Slut Walk point of view, we are really ecstatic that the Slut Walk has instigated further action in the community, and because that's what it's really about. And so I know, I can tell from that clip that this isn't about creating division within the feminist community, even though that's maybe how it's been framed by some other media outlets. I'm really just so proud that there's been this sort of inspiration that's come out of London Slut Walk. The other thing is that we, London Slut Walk does value women as well, and it's just we value women and men and, you know, trans and whoever, and their right to choose how they want to claim sexual agency and fight for their own sort of individual freedoms and rights and equality.
Heather?
I'm thrilled to hear something more direct from Megan Walker and about the Value Women campaign, because I think it's a brilliant campaign for the most part. I think it's amazing when people do really take up the challenge to create more space and more dialogue and more awareness and more faces for support. So that's incredible. And I do think, you know, I need to be perfectly honest here, is I was thrilled when I was able to get in touch with some of the London Slut Walk organizers to hear that there had been dialogue between the London Abused Women Center and London Slut Walk, because when I heard about the criticisms from this center about Slut Walk, I thought, why haven't they come to talk to us? Why haven't they contacted us? We're all about dialogue. And one thing that makes me really sad is when communities fraction and they turn against each other, and they can disagree. And I think constructive criticism and disagreement and variety of opinion is so important. But when people turn against each other, when they're doing the same kind of work, it's really, really sad. You know, I think we do need to unify and come together. And if that means a variety of methods and tactics, all the better. So I'm thrilled that there was more dialogue. I'm still hoping to hear from Megan Walker when I contacted her last week and said, we'd love to have this conversation. And one thing that I feel like I want to say is that we're trying. I think some people have read our messages in ways that we've never intended them, and we're continuing to take the constructive feedback and criticism to try to clarify what we mean. And what we really want to emphasize is people have a choice, and we want to support them in that choice. If people hate the word slut, that is their choice, and, you know, I respect that. And my choice is to not, you know, just as Megan was saying, they were getting inspiration from the Black is Beautiful campaign. I heard the recording of London. Slut is beautiful. Slut can be beautiful. It's not for everybody, and I can absolutely understand some of the reasons why, but I think that can be a really powerful position and should be respected. What I hope to hear from the Value Women campaign is women are valued in expressing their sexuality however they choose to, whether that means engaging in the kind of sex they want to, engaging in the kind of education they want to. I think it's an amazing campaign, but that's a message that I haven't been able to hear from them yet, that they value women in choosing their expression of their sexuality.
And Heather, just so you know, Megan and her agency really do value women and their sexuality. And I know Megan has been very, very busy in the last week, and I'm sure she'll get back to you.
Yeah, I really hope so. And I believe that they do. It's just a message that I have not been able to find on their website or on their Facebook page or in any of the media supports. And, I mean, they've taken a strong stance that says no to pornography. And I can absolutely understand the heavy criticisms in a lot of mainstream pornography. But a lot of people I know have been really empowered by feminist pornography in engaging and educating themselves and empowering themselves about their sexuality, and I think that should be a choice that's left up to people to make for themselves.
And that's the only concern I have with the campaign is that the Abuse Center of London, and Megan made it very clear in my interview to her that they are anti-sex work and anti-pornography, and they want it abolished as a whole. And I think that's where there's a division in opinion.
And my strong criticism is, for me, that is taking away choice. That's taking away people's choice. When it comes down to being put in those positions without choice, I can get behind the criticism, but it's really difficult for me to hear a campaign that says we want to support women and people who experience this violence in the ways that they want to be supported, and we want people to have choice, but not this kind of choice.
And we've seen time and time again that communities have the power to transform And so just because maybe mainstream pornography and sex work in a lot of cases is harmful and oppressive to the people that are engaged in it, we have the ability to transform those things and to make them safer and more empowering for the people involved. And so I don't think that abolishing them altogether is really the right answer.
Yeah, I agree that we really want to acknowledge that reclaiming slut is not for everybody, and that is really, really okay. And people who do not want it reclaimed, I support them in their choice. And I think people should be supported in every choice that they make for themselves that they find empowering if it's good for them.
Wonderful. Any last words, Heather? We're running out of time.
I really want to highlight that we're, you know, for us behind sort of Slutwalk, and now we're sort of trying to say it's about Slutwalk because it's not just about Toronto, because it's spread so far and so wide. I really do want to emphasize that we really want to support people and the choices that are good for them, and we really are trying to take the criticism and the feedback and the constructive feedback to say, if people feel like they've been excluded, if people feel like we've told them this is what you have to do, we want to say that's not what we're trying to say, and we're taking the feedback and we're trying to move forward in a way that we can keep the dialogue going. And I hear the same from London, which is thrilling. And I think things like the Value Women campaign, for the most part, are wonderful and also working from this same standpoint in dialogue. And this is about everybody who's impacted. And some people are coming from marginalized experiences and systems of oppression. And we want to acknowledge that it's not the same for everybody. But this is something that has engaged a lot of people, good or bad. And I think that shows its value.
Wonderful. Well, this has been Between the Margins on CHRW 94.9 FM. My name's Michelle Boyce.
And I'm Devil Hamza.
I want to thank Heather Jarvis, Adrienne Birchtold, Megan Walker, Elizabeth Webb, Nicole from Ottawa, the team from Seattle, all of the people that contributed to this show. Thank you from a heartfelt self, and have yourselves a very healthy day.